Our society today has rejected the Bible as authoritative for life. It deifies instead science. And in the process, it has denied the authority of the Scriptures. It disputes, in fact, that God has revealed Himself through the Scriptures. And they deny that the Scriptures have any kind of special inspiration regarding the truth or the message that it proclaims. And as a result, we see in society, because it has rejected the authority of the Scriptures, we see great discontent. We see disruption on every hand. We see faithlessness. We also see man in sin. And it all has resulted because the society has rejected the authority of Scripture. The sad thing of it is that we see these same kinds of symptoms in the lives of people who call themselves Christians, those who claim the name of Jesus Christ, and we find it abundantly in the Church of Jesus Christ today. For example, we see faithlessness. We see great doubt in the body of Christ today. We also see sin. We also see those who have discontent and great disturbance and disruption in their lives. It has resulted for the same cause as we see in society as a whole. It has begun to invade the Church of Jesus Christ because we have refused to take the Scriptures as our authority for life and for practice. David was a great one for the Scriptures. He spoke a great deal about the role of the Scriptures in his life. Often when we think of David, we think of three very sad events in his life. One was his sin with Bathsheba, and then the murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And then we often remember at the end of his life when he began to number the people and how God judged him for that sin of pride. Another way we often think of David is with Goliath and how he slew the giant with just a stone and a sling. But David wrote much of the book of Psalms, and in those Psalms he reveals to us how he viewed the Scriptures. And the Scriptures played an important role in the life of David as he experienced the ups and the downs in his life. In fact, he points out for us how the Scriptures were a key instrument in the spiritual revival in his life after he committed those grievous sins. He repented and turned back to God, and part of that turning back to God was because of the Scriptures. One of the Psalms that he wrote that so vividly accounts for us his view of the Scriptures is Psalm 119. Many people remember this psalm because it's the longest chapter in all of Scripture. It's approximately 170-some verses long. And every one of the sections of that psalm deal with God's Word. And one of those verses that I want us to examine today deals specifically with the relationship of God's Word and spiritual renewal. And that is Psalm 119, verse number 9. And here's what it says: wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed hereto to thy word. So David points out for us very clearly here the relationship between spiritual renewal and God's word. Now, before we look at some specifics of what he said, I want to explain just a few things relative to what he has said here. Notice that he has a question and an answer. The question gives to us a statement about a young man, and we're tempted to say, well, this only relates to someone young. But in reality, what David is doing here is using a young man as a picture for us. And he's picturing for us someone like a young man. And when we think of a young man, we think of someone who is very self-sufficient, someone who is willful, someone who has grave temptations daily. and someone who likes to do their own thing. And that's the picture. Wherewithal shall this kind of man cleanse his ways? Notice, secondly, that it's assuming that this person has fallen into sin, because it's talking about cleansing their ways. And if they weren't in sin, then obviously they would not be talking about cleansing their ways. So the assumption here is that this person has fallen into sin and fallen prey to the temptations and passions of his flesh and of the world and of the devil. And then we also notice that there is a desire in this person. The desire is to forsake those ways and to have a life of purity, a life of cleansing, a life of honesty and walking away from sin. And that's the picture here of the young man, or the one pictured as in sin and seeking for cleansing. That's the question part. Now notice the second part here of the verse, and that is the answer. And the answer says, by taking heed thereto to thy word. So David points out for us in this one short little verse the key critical connection between spiritual cleansing and God's word. Now, let's take a look at what this verse then says to us relative to spiritual revival. I want us to examine three fundamental truths that this verse reveals to us, that the Spirit of God wants to work in our hearts, in our lives, to cleanse us from our way of sin and to lead us into a life in accordance with God's word that will result in spiritual revival. The first truth I want us to see is that of meditation. Meditating upon God's word. Notice what the verse says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto to the scriptures. Now, that word that is translated in English as taking heed has the meaning of giving attention to, attending to something. So the underlying thought here is giving attention to God's word in such a way that I think about God's word. I meditate upon it. I study it. I examine it. I try to find out what God's word really says. And in order to reach that, I must meditate upon it. David spoke often about the role of meditation in his life. In fact, in this 119th Psalm, five different times David talks about meditating upon the Scriptures. For example, one of the verses is verse 15. It says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. The Scriptures speak often about meditating and thinking about God's Word. We find in the New Testament, for example, in the book of Acts, a group of people called the Bereans. It says that they examined the word to see if it really said what the speaker said that it said. So as we look through church history and we look back all through scriptural history as well, we find that meditating upon God's word is critical and vital to your spiritual walk. Now, sadly today, there are some problems that have arisen in this area of meditation. For example, there are many religions today who have misled people as to what meditation is. They have given the inclination that meditation is when I sit on the floor and I cross my legs in a funny fashion and I hold my hands in a certain way and I close my eyes and I just kind of mumble a bunch of noises. That's not meditation as Scripture talks about meditation. And as a result, there are those who have kind of set meditation aside, saying, well, that's crazy, because they've seen some false religions practice it in an improper fashion. Some other problems that come in the face of meditation is time. We are a very time-pressured society today. We have work pressures, we have family pressures, and we have church pressures, all screaming and calling and demanding for time. When will I have time to meditate? And then another problem that we have is our interests. We have so many things in our society today that call for our attention. Interests such as finances. Interests like our work and our vocation and our occupation, our profession. Interests in sports and various other kinds of activities, whether they be secular activities or whether they be activities in the church. They all demand a portion of our lives. And these all come as problems and obstacles to us who need to meditate in God's Word. But at the same time, we must understand the practice that the Spirit of God wants to work in our hearts and our lives. And that is meditation upon God's Word. Now, if we will follow the scriptural injunction of Scripture and begin to meditate upon His Word, the Spirit of God can begin to reveal to us two general areas. First of all, one area He's going to reveal to us is doctrine. Doctrine that we are to believe. Doctrine such as regeneration, justification, sanctification, cleansing from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ and His atonement on the cross for sin. And those are doctrinal truths which we can learn to believe. Another one that we can learn is the role of the Spirit of God in our lives and how God intends for the Spirit to function in our bodies and in our lives. So there's doctrine that we can learn to believe and to understand. Then in addition to that, a second major category is the duty of man to God. The duty of man to discover the pitfalls of life that we are to avoid. The practices of life that we should adopt. The purity in life that we are to seek and to pursue. So that by meditating upon God's Word, we can find doctrine to believe that will mold and shape our lives and our attitudes and our belief towards God. It will also point out to us the duty of man to God. I would ask you today, do you meditate upon God's Word? When was the last time you took God's Word and began to study it and to examine it and to see what it had to say relative to your life and to your walk and to your daily experience? If you today are to experience the spiritual renewal that God wants to bring to your life, it will require meditation upon His Word. Now, there's a second fundamental truth here that I want you to notice, and that is the truth of self-examination. Self-examination. Notice the text again. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto to God's Word." A follow-up function of meditating upon God's Word is self-examination. Examining my own life to see whether I believe these doctrines or whether I practice my duty before God as He demands and requires. That is an automatic response. In other words, it might form itself in a question where I would say, what is it that the Spirit of God requires these truths in my life, and what does He want to accomplish in my life because of these truths? Again, Scripture identifies for us that self-examination is a daily practice in the life of the Christian. Paul wrote to the believers at Corinth, and he reminded them to examine themselves, whether they be in the faith. David, in this psalm, he tells us in verse number 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." It was a part of his self-examination. And then we find in James the encouragement as well to examine our lives. Now again, we face some obstacles in self-examination. Sometimes we take self-examination to such an extent that we become morbid. And we become so bound up in our uselessness and our worthlessness that it leads us to spiritual depression. and leads us, instead of to victory, leads us into defeat. And there is another problem that we have with the self-examination, that is, most people don't do it. There are many people who will study God's Word, they will hear a message from God's Word, and they will just say, well, that's interesting, I didn't know that. But it never comes to the part where they examine their lives in light of that scriptural truth, to see whether it be part of their life or not. Whereas the walk of the believer should be one of constant self-examination. Is this part of my life? Has this truth become part of my structural belief in the Father, in the Son, and the Spirit? Is this truth that I have applied in my own life so that it affects my duty and my daily walk? Well, part of coming to spiritual revival is to have not only meditation, but then self-examination, where the truth that I discover in God's Word and that His Spirit reveals to me and opens my eyes to understand, where I then examine my life in light of that truth to discover whether I am innocent or guilty, whether I am approved or whether I am censured, whether or not I conform to the will and purpose of God in my life. And David points out, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed. Taking heed includes meditation upon God's Word. It includes self-examination. And it includes a third fundamental truth, and that is application. Application of God's Word. Notice again the text. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to thy word. The phrase there, taking heed, relates to the fact that I adopt it as part of my daily practice, where I include it in my daily practice. Now, Scripture talks abundantly about how we are to include as our daily practice the truths of God's Word. James wrote to the believers and he said, we are not only to be hearers of the Word, but we are to be doers of the Word as well. And that by only listening to God's Word and not doing it, we deceive ourselves. Now again, there are some problems that crop up as we try to apply God's Word in our life. For example, there are some people who will admit to the conviction of the Spirit of God in their life to guilt and to sin. And it will even produce sorrow in their lives. But that's where it stops. It doesn't go beyond the feeling sorry for the sin that they have committed. It doesn't ever reach the point where their life is changed because of the conviction of the sin. They have conviction, but no correction. There's no change. And the Scriptures tell us that we are to apply the truth that we learn and that the Spirit of God reveals to us, so that it becomes part of our practice, so that it changes our life. So we see David pointing out to us here in this one short little verse, three very fundamental truths relating to God's Word and its role in spiritual revival. David wasn't the only one who presented these truths. God presented these same truths in a different fashion to Joshua. Joshua was the great commander of the children of Israel as he took them across the Jordan into the promised land. And after they had crossed over, God spoke to Joshua and he gave him direction as to how they were to proceed in the conquering of the land. And one of the commands that he gave them relates to God's Word. And you can find it in Joshua chapter 1, right at the very beginning, verse number 8. It's a very well-known scripture. I'll just read it for you real quickly. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The same three fundamental truths that David presents in verse number 9, we find God presenting to Joshua just as they're going into the promised land. Meditate upon God's word. Examine yourself in light of that truth. And then third, make a change in your life. Apply it into your practice. As a result, you will begin to experience the presence and power of God in your life. That's the promise of God. That's the promise that God made to Joshua. That's the promise that we have here recorded for us in Psalm 119 by David. Now I want to ask you a question today. What does the Spirit of God want to accomplish in your life today with these truths from Scripture? Well, one thing He wants to accomplish in your life is He wants to clarify for you the truth of Scripture. He wants to clarify for you your duty before God. And the duty of God, of you before God, is to meditate upon God's Word and to examine yourself in the light of that truth, and then apply it into your daily life so that it changes your behavior. And so the Scriptures here and the truths presented by the Spirit of God, He wants to take them, and into your life He wants to clarify that truth for you. Now there's a second thing that we can these truths can accomplish in our lives, and that is the conviction of sin. I would ask you today, do you meditate upon God's Word? Do you read it? Do you study God's Word? Do you spend time daily reading God's Word and examining it for what it has to say about your life? The Scriptures convict us of sin. And today the Spirit of God would take these truths and convict you of sin in your life and your failure to apply the Scriptures as God intends them for your life. There's a third thing that Scriptures, that these truths can do in your life, and that is to correct you. Conviction without correction is worthless. All it does is produce sorrow and guilt. But these truths can bring us to correction. They not only point out what changes need to be made, but it also points out how to do them, by taking heed to the Scripture. And the Spirit of God today would convict you of sin, but then He would want to bring correction. And He would bring you to confession of that sin, and He would bring you to repentance, and He would bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ, where you can experience cleansing and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus from those sins. So we have the Spirit clarifying the truth for us, convicting us of sin, correcting us, and then finally, the Spirit would take these truths and would conform us to the will and purpose of God in our lives. By permitting the Spirit of God to work these truths into our lives, we will begin to experience the power and presence of God that is our right and our privilege because of our relationship through Christ. I have a last question for you. What changes does the Spirit of God require in your life today because of these truths? Well, we've seen that the truth is presented for us here as to how God expects us to walk before Him and our duty as a child of God. My question, is that true in your life? Has the Spirit of God today convicted you of your failure to study God's Word and of your neglect of His message to us? We are very great as Christians, aren't we, as raising up the Bible and saying, that's God's Word, and don't you speak against it, and that's God's Word, I believe it is. Well, then why don't we study it? If we really believe this is God's message to us, then why do we so seldom take the time to study God's Word? So God has convicted you today of your failure to study God's Word. And the change that he wants to bring into your life is, first of all, for you to recognize your sin and to confess your sin before God. And as a result of confessing your sin, to then turn in repentance, turning away from your failure and beginning to walk in the path that God wants you to walk, spending time in God's Word, spending time studying it, and making it a part of your life. And in the process of repenting from your sin, experiencing the cleansing of God through Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ, washing away your sin and bringing you to cleansing and forgiveness. As a result, you will rejoice and joy in what God has done for you through Christ. And that's what the Spirit of God wants to work in your life today. Will you permit Him to do that? Will you yield to the work and the ministry that the Spirit of God has begun in your life today? The Scriptures remind us, it says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't turn away from it, but rather yield to the work and ministry of the Spirit in your life. My prayer for you today is that you will bow to the will of God and to the work of the Spirit of God in your life.